Today is the day the Lord has made. I rejoiced when God called us to come into our sanctuary together and to praise God, to be together as the family of God, and to worship and sing and pray together. Welcome to all who have traveled from far and maybe just down the street to be here for church and worship today. It's a big day. We have a lot of special events happening. And I know that we want to share the announcements of the week and the day as at this time as we come together. So we're going to do some very big celebration during the course of this worship. And at the end of this day, at 6 o'clock, we are going to have a very exciting celebration of our pets and animals. So at 6 o'clock, right outside the front of the sanctuary, if you have any pet that you want to bring, we've said caged, leashed, or harnessed, that should just make sure you have control of your animal, and we will not let any people overwhelm your pets that might be overcome by all the excitement. But we'll have water and treats for all of your pets and any animals that you would like to bring this evening at 6 o'clock. That's today. Next Sunday is a very big Sunday because we will be celebrating World Communion. We will meet with the Christian family from the farthest easternmost place on the globe. And as the communion service traverses around the world, we will celebrate at 10 o'clock with all the Christians around the world. Next Sunday, World Communion. Service followed immediately by an international potluck buffet. International foods are just like what you'd have right here in your own kitchen or whatever you want to bring from wherever you we will eat together next Sunday. I believe there was one other announcement. Tonight, Friday, we are, thank you, Sandy. Tell us about it, Sandy. The movie is Lion King, which is full of theological implications. And there will be a cartoon quiz on what you might find in the movie that resembles our faith. So there's a prize for the, yes, there's just all kinds of things that are going to happen. Friday night, this coming Friday, 6:30. Yes, ma'am. Jeannie, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Jeannie. It's November 23rd is the Artisan Fair. 23rd? November. Yes. And help and see Jeannie or Susie McClure about help. Yes, Johnny, please. We are always happy to celebrate and to be in church together. We are connected today to Betty Hunt because her kids, I don't know the right order, but Susan and Rachel and Marsha. Why did I wanted to say that? Let me look at you. Susan, Marsha, and Ann, and Jane, Marsha, Susan, Mark, and Robert are the gentlemen and the women that are all in good standing this morning with their mother for having brought these beautiful, beautiful flowers. Thank you. Thank you for that. And I'm tickled to death to see Hazel Dunn, and I missed her last Sunday, but I'm so very, very happy to see Hazel and Joyce today. We are honored to begin and to continue our worship. Mia will lead us in the 91st Psalm. Responsively, please.
Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
If we say we have no sin, then the truth is not in us. But we know of a God that is gracious and merciful and quick to forgive as soon as we confess. Let us together share our admission of sin. Holy God, remind us that when you looked into the darkness of the waters, you called forth light. When our hearts feel tied up in knots and the windows to our minds are shut tight. Guide the light of your truth into the center of our being. Forgive our need to resort to quick answers and renew our trust in your ever-blowing, everlasting Spirit. In the name of your redeeming Son, we pray. Amen. Just as the winds of the Spirit blow over us, so do the waters of the Spirit wash through us. As George gives us that cleansing, sounding, renewing sense of life, we are forgiven in the kindness and goodness of God's heart. Let us say together and responsively this sentence. There is no greater joy in the streets of heaven than when God's sons and daughters turn their face to the light of Jesus' love and seek to reflect his goodness. Thanks be to God. Because we know of that love and share it one with another, let us, as we extend that peace of Christ with our brothers and sisters, know too that we are connected to the church here and around the world. And as we say together and in response, may the peace of the Lord be with you.
Thank you. Good morning. This morning we'll be reading Jeremiah 8, verses 18 through chapter 9, verses 1. We're about to hear a stark reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Even though God had told Jeremiah ahead of time about all the problems, Jeremiah still felt great sorrow for these people. He was known as the prophet of sorrows. Jeremiah had not planned to grieve, but it was more than he could endure. His heart was broken, and he was overcome with grief for his people. The people of God had provoked God to bring this terrible punishment on them, the temple and the land, by worshiping false gods. They cry out because of their loss, not because they've repented. Zion is the Mount of Jerusalem, but it's also God's church. So Jeremiah's response is overwhelming grief and sorrow. He repeats the testimony of people from across the nation, and it is not all the same. Some are searching for God, but without success. Some voice their hopelessness and frustration. All of them are asking questions, and so is Jeremiah. Don't we have resources? Don't we have medicine? Don't we know somewhere what kind of radical change is needed or how to bring it about? Why haven't we been committed? Why do we keep suffering from the same affliction? The prophet, too, feels powerless, and in this moment can only weep. So let us hear a word from the Lord. You who are my comforter in sorrow, my heart is faint within me. Listen to the cry of my people from a land far away. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king no longer there? Why have they aroused my anger with their images, with their worthless foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn, and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people. So this is the word for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I invite all the children of any age that would like to come forward. And this is the huge part of the sermon today. So if everybody pays attention to the children's sermon and can answer the questions at the end, then we'll be pretty close to finished. Good morning to all of you. My goodness, what a terrific crowd we have. Well, I was going to say we have a mixture of males and females, and it's evening up now. Thank you. We need that help. Oh, thanks, Case. Stay with us. Yeah. I know there's a big word we're talking about today, and it might not be one that you're familiar with using. It's called confession. Does anybody know what it means to confess? Mia, what do you think? Okay, Mia said it means to tell the truth or tell something you've done. Luke, I saw your hand next. What else is a confession?
A confession is like when the parent says, did you eat the cake and you have brown marks all over your chin and you say, fine, I ate the cake.
Luke just gave a wonderful example. The parents see that there's cake gone and there's cake on the face of the child, and the parents say, did you eat the cake? And a wise child says, yep, I did. That's a good confession. Excellent. You are so right. Did you have something you wanted to share too, Case? No? Okay. Well, you guys are, and Mia, you started it out just right. There are really two kinds of confession. There is There is good confession when you say what you believe, what you know is right, when you tell the truth. That makes it good. And sometimes you need to confess something that you knew you probably should not have done, but did. And then you, thank you, then you have a chance to clear yourself, and it's finished. It's over. So I wanted to use this board and the marker that I had in my hand that's in my lap here. And so I was going to see if you wanted to think of a good confession. What is a good thing that you want to say that you believe about God or about Jesus? Something good that you know you could say and be very truthful and very honest. Yes, Mia? I believe in God. I believe. That's sort of the beginning of a confession. I believe. And that is one of the best. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and all that. So that is, I believe. That's strong. That's good. Does anybody have another? Could we use your idea, Luca? That example, not you, but somebody that would have maybe eaten the cake and they were supposed to. So I ate the cake. And that is an example of, let's just for good measure, let's say that you ate it for breakfast. Okay, or what were you going to say?
I stole.
That would be a confession of guilt, of sin. Leah, telling the truth. That's a good one. Telling the truth. Always telling the truth. That's the biggest thing that you will ever want to do, is always stay truthful. Now, whenever we say that we have made a mistake and then we declare that to God, when we make that prayer, how would you ask for forgiveness, Luke, if you had eaten that cake? I'm sorry, I didn't really mean to eat the cake. It just tempted me so much that I gave in, right? Well, when you say that, what we can do is just say, okay, you're done. You did it. You admitted and you confessed your sin, and God says, you're forgiven. And God also says, try not to do it again. That's the next sentence that comes with being forgiven. But we don't ever want to erase these. These are the truths we live by. These are the truths God has given us for life and how we treat one another and how we always know that God is living through us when we do the good confession, the good truth-telling, the good belief statements. But anytime we say we're sorry, it's gone. Races right off the board. It erases from all of our lives, and we can start over and afresh anew. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for inviting us to good confession. Thank you for loving us through the times we make mistakes and helping us to learn from them. Thank you for all your children of all ages. And we say together, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Yeah. You can go back and sit with your parents. So this text this morning comes from the first letter that Paul writes to Timothy, and then we will hear just a word about it and have a time of prayer. Let us hear this word from Paul's letter to Timothy, chapter 6, verses 6 through 19. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and trap and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men and women into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, O people of God, flee from this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the light of God, who gives life to everything, and of Jesus Christ, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in God's own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to this God be honor and might forever. Amen. A word for the Lord, from the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, dear Lord, may the words and meditations of all of our mouths and hearts be acceptable unto your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. These passages that we have this morning are a collection of struggles and challenges that God's people have had, and then a sense of delight in knowing what can happen when we make those good confessions, when we say the parts of our lives that we know redeem us and lead us into righteousness, the paths we want to walk here, today, and tomorrow, and every day. And when we make that good confession, we are connected to our brothers and sisters. We are supported by our church body. We are emboldened to go forward, sometimes in new ways, sometimes in ways that are an experiment for us, sometimes in ways that give us a sense of confidence for who we follow. You took an adventure in an experiment in calling an interim pastor, somebody that only a very small circle of people had known and just really met once, and said, we want this interim pastor to come and shake things up a bit and change this church a little bit and help us to see who we really are and wonder how we can go forward in this day and age. And in this time of good confession that we are making with one another, in this time of living on the threshold and looking out into what is coming next, we have needed to be grounded in our faith, knowing our good confession is who we are and what we have to share with the world. And you're very good at that. You're very good at knowing who you are, and you're very good at inviting people in you're very, very good at making people feel welcome when they enter these doors. And I know that sometimes in our sense of confessing, in our sense of trying to allow God to work wonders through us, it is natural to hold on to what we know. It is very, very truth-telling to say we want it to be the way we understand and the things we have accomplished before, and we stand on that truth. And that is solid, and that is good. I remember a story that Bruce Reyes Chow shared with us at one of the gatherings. He was he's a Presbyterian pastor in a church now, a small church now, but he left a tall steeple church to go to a small one. But when he was in this tall steeple church, in this very traditional church, he was in a rush one morning and trying to set up all the things for the worship service the way that he wanted. And he noticed that the flowers weren't exactly on the right place that day, but he hadn't put them there, and he just left the flowers on a table off to the side. And the next Monday morning, there was a woman waiting for him when he got to church, And when he got to his office, and she said, "You realize you didn't have the flowers in the right place." And Bruce said, "Well, I really didn't think it mattered that much." She said, "What? You didn't think it mattered where the flowers are?" And Bruce said, I'm sorry. I didn't know that they had a special place." And the idea was, we all know it doesn't really matter where the flowers are. It doesn't really matter where the pulpit sits. It doesn't really matter where you sit in your pew, even though I understand there are some that belong to some people. And that's okay. But the idea of letting go of some of those traditions that we feel are marked in stone, and letting our imaginations create ways to help us envision a larger goal, a larger spirit, a wonder beyond what we have had before. This church, this Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church, is full of good confession. It is full of wonder and truth. It is full of love and care for itself and for one another. And when that kind of genuine truth-telling and love-embracing flows out of these doors, people begin to say, "Guess what's going on over at that church? Guess how they love one another. Have you noticed how they take the food to the people that are grieving? Have you noticed how they make sure the right people that want to be in church get a ride? Have you noticed that not only the pastor, but a wide circle of church members go to the hospitals and go to the homes of retirement communities and visit with the people that are our brothers and sisters?" Telling the good confession is what this church is about and needs to do more of. Telling the good confession of on whose rock we stand, the one and only Lord Jesus Christ, who carries us through trials and tribulations, who forgives us when we honestly say we are sorry. And that's something that is very freeing, very liberating. Marking that whiteboard off of saying I'm sorry and I'm done with that, I'm not going to do it again, redeems us in the goodness of our love from Jesus Christ. Jeremiah had a rough congregation to preach to because they were stuck. And it is also the Psalms that David wrote continue to let us know that we have trials and grief and struggles. But there is one thing that is sure. There is one thing on which we can rely and depend now and forever. And that is that the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ will carry us through all those storms. The goodness of how we express that with one another is also a carrying through of the storms. And expressing that with one another is not enough. We have to lead that and carry that out into the streets. We have to embolden ourselves with a message that cannot be held in a building, cannot be only contained in this place. As we honor and rejoice and feel redeemed by our Lord Jesus Christ, might our sense of amazement and wonder at what we are able to do together be even bigger than we have realized thus far. I remember a little story. I'm not going to do this story, but he ended it with when Roger Nishioka said, "Come on, church, you're the people that know how to do this best. You can do it. I know you can." That, dear people, is your good confession.
Thank you, Pastor Lynn. There's so many wonderful names affixed to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think of the Prince of Peace, Son of God, the Counselor, the Almighty God, the Fairest of 10,000. And we can just go on and on with Scripture underhand, talking about our wonderful Savior. There's a simple little chorus, and I'd like for you to join in. We don't have the words, but you're going to find it easy to follow. It's sort of like a responsive reading, whereas the leader, that's me, I'm going to sing a short phrase, and then you just copy what I sing. The chorus is, "Isn't he beautiful?" And we can all sing that today. You remain seated. Choir, would you stand? So sing along with the choir. Isn't he beautiful, beautiful, isn't he, Prince of Peace, Son of God, isn't he, isn't he, isn't he, wonderful, wonderful, isn't he, Counselor, Almighty God, isn't he, isn't he, and then everybody, isn't he. Isn't he beautiful, beautiful, isn't he, Prince of Peace, Son of God, isn't he, isn't he, isn't he? He's wonderful, wonderful, isn't he? Counselor, the Almighty God, isn't he? Isn't he? And everybody. Amen.
I believe all of you might have learned already that Mary Bradford passed away early this week. And there will be a memorial service here for her Tuesday, October the 1st at 1 o'clock in this sanctuary. And calling hours in Fellowship Hall begin at 11:30 on Tuesday, October 1st from Mary Bradford. I also learned that Vera Smith had knee surgery. How's she doing? Tina, good? All is good. She's home from the hospital has a resiliency beyond any person with the most surgeries and still up and running around, walking around. Other prayer concerns that we have? Nan, please.
Our first permanency hearing for the foster child is Tuesday.
Tuesday, Nan's daughter and son-in-law have a first hearing for adopting this little girl. Boy, he's only... He's not a year old yet. He's very, very young child. Tuesday is the hearing for Nan's daughter and son-in-law for adopting. Michael, yes. Baby Brooklyn will be born tomorrow, if not today, okay? If she should happen to be prepared to come into this world, and we will welcome her as a new miracle. We have another new grandchild. Charles?
We have our 11th grandchild, Thomas Joseph, 5 pounds, 14 ounces.
Thomas Joseph, 11 grandchildren for Kay and Charles. Thank you. Yes, Heather, please.
So, a called my mom and told her that he was at peace with whatever happens from this, because this is not the first time he's been in a induced coma because of his heart condition. He's on a waiting list for a heart right now. So.
Heather's uncle is feeling comfort by the prayer shawls that have been, or the one that has been made by the many hands here, knitting and crocheting and putting together symbols and tangible things for love and care. Please, Sydney. If you didn't hear that, Sydney in Washington State had a friend, China, whose nephew fell on an escalator in the airport and is not expected to live, not expected to survive. Let us be aware of God's presence. In the gift of this morning, in the culmination of time that we have shared in this day, and in the sense of who you are for us, oh God, we give you thanks. And in the needs of our hearts for loved ones that are ill, for loved ones who have died, and we ask especially that our arms of comfort might be felt by Christy and Doug. Be with them as we prepare for honoring Mary Bradford and all that she has meant to this church and this community. And for others who are recovering from surgery and others who are in anticipation of illness or having illness and trying to work through that. And all the families that we have mentioned, we ask for your care and love to be felt at this time, and also continued to be embodied by our hands and hearts as we minister to our brothers and sisters. Thank you for continuing to guide this Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church, and guide us now, especially too, as we pray in the name of your Son, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want us to continue with the ordination and installation service. But first, I want to thank a couple of deacons who are graduating out of the class because they have served 3 or 6 years. And one of those persons is Bonnie Spurlock. And just because you become a resting, quote-unquote, deacon doesn't mean that you might not still be called upon to do wonderful works. And I'm at these steps. So thank you to Bonnie and Steve. I'm headed to you for the completion of your service and your graduation, to rest a bit and then be ready to say yes when you're called on for any work and help that is needed. Steve Gilmore's term of service is over, and Dina Stanford, I have a certificate of appreciation for you as well. Let's thank these persons who have served so beautifully and wonderfully. And because they have completed their work, we need new people to replace them. So Nancy J. McClure is going to come and be ordained. And also Susanna Justice is coming today to be reinstalled, because she has been ordained before, and so she will be installed. And I love that we have this opportunity to surround our members with these services of ordination and installation. And it is an honor to do every time we have this opportunity. We will do it again next Sunday because there's two other deacons, Lucille Saville, and then Bev is going to continue to just be reinstalled next week so that we have two people. Susanna Justice is being installed. She will recommit to her vows, and Nan will be ordained. Now, the service is in your bulletin. It's on the back part of that. It's one of these handouts that you have. There are many gifts in the letter to Paul, or that Paul writes to the Corinthians, but there is one body. And we perform with our gifts in different ways, but there is one Spirit that joins us all. So, Nancy J. McClure and Susanna Justice, God has called you by the voice of this church to serve Jesus Christ in a special way. You know who we are and what we believe, and you understand the work for which you have been chosen. So I'd like you to reaffirm or to, for the first time, answer these questions as a deacon. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of the world and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you? This sentence has two verbs, I do and I will, as your response. Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God?
I do.
Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and Spirit?
I do.
Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world?
I will.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?
I will.
Will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? In your ministry, will you try to show the love of Jesus Christ?
I will. We as a congregation also have responsibilities. Do you, the members of Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church, session, accept Susanna Justice and Nan McClure as deacons chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Do we agree to pray for them, to encourage them, and to respect their decisions, and to welcome their service as they serve our Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
We're going to pray in unison, but we need to be connected. So Johnny's going to come up here, and the choir hold hands. And maybe one choir representative can come down and lay hands on Nan as being ordained. And so I need an elder from the choir to come. And then all of us, let's hold hands across the pews, because we are all together the body. And I won't ask anybody to move, but just, and we'll go ahead and move if you need to get connected to people in the pew. But we will make this prayer together. Hold hands. We have a choir member to, good. Get to Nan. Suzanne's been ordained. Okay. Come stand behind her. Yeah. Let us pray. We respond to God's holy gift when we hear that we are called to serve with our Lord Jesus. Let us all now go forth, accepting the ministry to which each one is surely called, rejoicing in the blessing of our Creator God, continually renewed in the life of Jesus Christ, and living in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace. Amen. You are all each ordained and installed as newly elected deacons, and we celebrate that action for you today. Here's your certificate. I think you were installed, so this is an ordination certificate. We have another event to do for the life of the church, and that is to release your interim pastor. We are doing that officially today, effective the date of October 11th. So Johnny, as clerk of session, is going to be speaking for all of you, and we will speak together and share our confessions and hopes for the future. So,
a church family is constantly changing. Loved ones come to the end of their lives. Individuals and families come and go in our church life. It is important and right that we recognize these times of passage, of endings and beginnings. Next week, we say farewell to Lynn, whose time as our interim pastor will officially end on October the 11th.
I thank everyone at Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church for the love, kindness, and support shown to me these last 20 months. I thank you for accepting my leadership. I recall with joy the things that we were able to accomplish together, and with sadness, the things that we were not able to do. I ask your understanding and forgiveness for the mistakes I made and for the times I let you down.
We receive your thankfulness, and we offer our forgiveness for any failures. We accept that you will leave us to minister elsewhere. We express gratitude for your time among us and ask your forgiveness for any of our shortcomings.
I forgive you and appreciate your gratitude, trusting that in our time together and our parting, we are pleasing to the Christ we are all called to serve.
Do you, the members and friends of Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church, now release Pastor Lynn from the duties of our interim?
We do, with the help of God.
Do you, Lynn, release the members and friends of this church from expecting any pastoral services from you?
I do, with the help of God.
Do you offer your encouragement for the continued thriving ministry here at Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church?
I do, with the help of God. O God, whose everlasting love for all is trustworthy, help each of us to trust the future that is held in your care. During our time together, we have experienced laughter and tears, raised questions and made discoveries, realized hopes and felt disappointments. Guide us as we carry these memories with us in new directions until the time when we are completely one with you and one another. Amen.
Go then, Lynn, surrounded by our love and led by the promises of God, the peace of Jesus Christ, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Let us receive now our gifts and offerings that we bring to God. Lord, help us to be the church that you have called us to be, that embraces new things you are doing in our midst. Show us how to share your love through service to others, even to the stranger, and let our service be what will draw others to you. Amen.